I nearly needed two slides to put a title on it. It's got quite a long one. What is happening when you are filled with the Spirit of God? And when I got this one to preach about, I thought, no, what must I do about this one? And then I thought, okay, I'm going to break it up in three parts. I'm going to break it up, first of all, in the Spirit of God, filling up, and then the question, then coming back again to the question, the original question, what is happening? Now, if we take a look at the first one, which says then, the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of God? And what is the Spirit of God? And the Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, as easy as that. And the Spirit of God is part of the Trinity. Trinity means three in unity. If you put those three in unity, if you put those two together, then you get the word Trinity, which means that there's a God which consists of three gods, you actually can say. So the Father is the God, Jesus is God, but the Holy Spirit is also God. But the Father is not Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is not Jesus. But together they are God. And sometimes it's difficult to understand, how is it possible that three different things can be one? Do not think too much about it, just accept it. Sometimes people, they've got pictures, they use pictures to explain it. If people are asking me, then I always say, okay, the Dutch flag has got three colors, red, blue, white. If you would separate them, then there are three individual flags. But if you put them together, then it's one flag. So maybe that one is helping a little bit to understand that the three can be total one. Another one which I read up, which I found actually quite nice, is the one of H2O. If we take water, if we take ice, or if we take steam, it doesn't matter in what form it is coming. It's always H2O. And that for me was also actually a good example of what God is. He's a Trinity. Now I can try to use other examples. Other people use, for instance, the sun, because they say the sun is light, it's heat, and it's radiation. So it's three in one, but it's still the same sun. We can use all those type of explanations, but God is too big to explain with an explanation. He's fortunately too big so that we cannot understand it. The first time that we're hearing about the Spirit of God is already in the Old Testament, in the very, very first verse of the Bible, Genesis 1. And it says over there, click. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word God over there is coming from the Hebrew word Elohim. And Elohim is plural. It's not one, but it's more than one. So the Spirit of God was already in the very first verse of the Bible. So there we can already see and read about it. And then the next verse is also awesome. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So it was a little bit of a hopeless situation, you nearly can say. I don't know how it actually looked like, if it was a lot of mud and water and all those type of things, and the Holy Spirit was moving over it. We would have said, it's maybe a hopeless situation. But the Holy Spirit is there, and when the Holy Spirit is there, there's hope, there's a possibility, something is going to happen. Because if we take a look at the next verse, it says then, in the next verse, what God is saying over there, then by his breath of let there be light, and there was light. So there we can already see that the Holy Spirit already had a function over there. When the Holy Spirit is part of what is happening over there, then something is going to happen over there. In the New Testament, we also have got a situation where when the Holy Spirit became part of the things happening, that something happened. And that we can see at the beginning of Jesus, when Jesus started with his ministry on earth. And that's in Luke 3, verses 22. When all the people were baptized, and came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him, which is then Jesus Christ, and a voice, which is the voice of the Father, came from heaven, which says, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. In one sentence again, we've got the Trinity of God summarized over there. And while I'm focusing a little bit on the on the Trinity of God and the Holy Spirit is sometimes we are neglecting the Holy Spirit. We are not seeing it as a God, but it is as important as what God the Father is, as what Jesus is, and of course then what the Holy Spirit is. If we go to the Jehovah Witnesses, the Jehovah Witnesses haven't got the Holy Spirit as a God. They see the Holy Spirit as a power of God, but they do not recognize him as a separate person, as a separate entity, I nearly would like to say. And there's biblical proof that the Holy Spirit is a person. The first of one, what I would like to mention is the baptism. If we're going to baptize, it's in Matthew 28, and the Let's Go team will most probably know it, what it is. Go to the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there we've got it. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's mentioned over there. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians 4, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So we can grieve the Holy Spirit. If it's not a person, you cannot grieve that person. So it is a person then. We already can read it in Isaiah as well, where it says the Spirit can be sinned against because they rebelled and grieved the Holy Spirit. This is what we can read in Isaiah. Then last week with the intercession, we were talking about Ananias and Sapphira. And what did Petrus ask them? He said, you're sinning against the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is really mentioned over there as a person. And we've got to obey the Holy Spirit. When Peter heard in Acts 10, when he was finished with the vision, then the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise therefore, go down and go with them. So Peter got an instruction. He got an instruction from that person that he had to go along. And then Peter went down and he went along with him. And we also have got to honor the Holy Spirit. It says in Psalm 51 over there, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. So yes, the Holy Spirit is a person. We also can see it in the works, what the Holy Spirit is doing, that it is a person. It empowers God's people. It guides us. It conforms us. It convicts us. It teaches us. It retrains strings sin. And it gives us commands. So that's really the Holy Spirit is a person. It's part of the Trinity. So I'm finished now with that first part of Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Now we're coming to the next one. And I'm inviting you to have a look at the next one. And the next one is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And as I was busy with preparing it, I saw that there is a difference. There's a difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And it's also written in the Bible. If we go to Romans 8, verses 9, it's talking about the dwelling in of the Holy Spirit. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not this. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, which means that we are not from the world anymore. Now we are from God's kingdom. Indeed, in the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. So if we are moving away from the world and we're moving to God, then the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. It doesn't say we are filled with the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. The word which is used over there, the Greek word is oikeo. I haven't got Greek spelling. I'm only eating Greek yogurt in the morning, so that's what closest what I can come to Greek. Am I correct, Martin? Yes, okay. And that is the oikeo. It's nearly like stay okay, but the oikeo, it says to occupy a house, to dwell in it, to be in it. So it's in there, but that's all. It just dwells in there. A little bit later you will most probably catch what I'm trying to get to. And when can the Holy Spirit dwell in us? When is the Holy Spirit going to dwell in us? The moment of salvation. As soon as we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, and the Father, we accept him as the Creator, we accepting the Trinity. So then the Holy Spirit automatically also comes in us. Not to say that anything is happening, but the Holy Spirit is coming in us. It's dwelling in us. I see you're a little bit confused, but we're getting there just now. It's all for all believers. It's not for some of them. It's for all believers, the Holy Spirit. It's not only those who were born at a certain place or a certain time. It's for each and every believer, each and every one who accepts Jesus Christ. They can receive the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will dwell in them. And it's also permanently. It's not only for a period. If we take a look in the Old Testament, we see that sometimes that certain people were filled with the Holy Spirit for a certain period. But this one is that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you continuously the whole time. Now we come to the other one. That's the filling in of the Holy Spirit. The filling in of the Holy Spirit, we know that the people in the upper room were praying. And all they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. So there we also have got the way how it is featuring. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're speaking in tongues. So there we can see that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. But those people who went to the upper room and they prayed over there, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. A few verses later, that's Acts 4 verses 31, again they prayed. And again they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And you actually can say we're all filled with the Holy Spirit again. And they spoke of the word of God, the word of God, with a boldness. So there's a difference what we've just now seen. The dwelling in is one thing which is happening only once when you are saved, and the filling in of the Holy Spirit is something which is happening continuously. We can see it with those two verses. If it was only once, then they only had to be filled once with the Holy Spirit. But filling with the Holy Spirit, filling in with the Holy Spirit, is something which is happening continuously. And as I was busy with it as well, I also was reminded again that we've got to pray continuously to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The next verse when I would like to have a look at is Ephesians 5 verses 18. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now what the people did in the Mediterranean, when they had the juice, they were fermenting it to basically prevent it of becoming vinegar, that you couldn't drink it anymore. But what's happening when you're drinking wine? You basically start losing your mind, I nearly can say. You cannot make the right decisions anymore. You're making wrong decisions, and you've got something else which is guiding you, which is helping you to make decisions, which is most of the time the wrong decisions. But what is happening over here, if we're going to put our trust in the Spirit, then we get a Spirit which is going to lead us and which is going to help us. And if the Spirit is leading us and if the Spirit is helping us, then the people are going to see something in our lives. They're going to see the fruit of the Spirit, which we've got in Galatians, where it is talking about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. That we can see as soon as we're going to let the Holy Spirit going to work in our life and not the wine. And that's happening quite a lot here in Utrecht as well, that the wine is basically taking over the, the cool drinks, and that they're making wrong decisions over there. From the dwelling in of the Holy Spirit, the filling in of the Holy Spirit, we also have got a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is also sometimes happening, that people are being baptized with the Holy Spirit, which means that they are praying for it, or so other people are praying in agreement with it. They do lay off hands on it, and then they are being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I thought about it, and I said, okay, how am I going to explain it with a practical thing? What is it? Does it mean to be dwelt in and filled in with the Holy Spirit? And I thought, okay, if a believer is going to be a car, and you've got a car with a petrol tank, okay, you're from Australia, if I'm correct, New Zealand? Australia. Australia. Petrol tank, is that, you know what I'm trying to say over there? Gas tank or? Petrol is acceptable. Okay. If we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, we get a petrol tank. But the petrol tank is empty. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to get some juice into the tank that we can do something. Some people are smiling because they know they've got a car, and they know if there's not a petrol in the car, not much is happening then. And if you want to do something with a car which hasn't got petrol in it, it's a lot of effort. Because you've got to push it, you've got to put in a lot of labor from yourself, and it's a lot of effort. You cannot go at certain speeds because it's difficult. You haven't got petrol in it. Certain things are not working in your car when your engine is not running. The air conditioning is not working. Power steering is not working. Difficult to change gears. So I thought, okay, maybe that picture is helping a little bit to make the difference between dwelling in the Holy Spirit and filling in with the Holy Spirit. But as soon as we're going to fill up and we're going to put some petrol in it, then that car changes. Then things are happening, because suddenly now you can switch on the air conditioning and you can go at 120 or 130, depending where you're driving. And you can turn left and right and you can do all fancy things. Beforehand, it could not be done because you were not filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is the difference, what I just would like to give to you then, the difference between the Holy Spirit, the filling in of the Holy Spirit, and the petrol tank. I was exactly the same. I was also a car with a petrol tank, but without petrol in it. I knew everything about God. If you would ask me, what is it to get in heaven? I would say, okay, accept Jesus as your Savior. I could give you the verses. I could quote you the verses. I even explained it to other people as well. But my petrol tank was empty. I couldn't do it with passion. I couldn't explain it to people how important it was that Jesus was in my life. I didn't have a relationship, if I can put it that way. It was just a matter of there are a few facts, and then it stopped over there. I didn't have that petrol to really be on the go to tell people of what was happening in my life. And it actually helped me. It helped me tremendous much that being filled with the Holy Spirit, I could see things now which I didn't see before. It was interesting for me to read up the Bible, to look up what actually means scriptures, go back to some heavy Greek and Hebrew words and look at the meaning of it and saying what is actually mentioned over there, what are people trying to say. It helped me. But it also helped the disciples when Jesus was telling them that he was going to send them a helper. Because if we take a look at what Jesus was actually doing, Jesus was helping the disciples to get ready that they could carry on their own. He was helping them. He was helping them to get ready, the 3 years. So that was Jesus doing. Jesus was not a teacher standing on one side, and each and every morning they came into the classroom or whatever. He was doing the things along with them. And sometimes he also told them to do certain things, and he also healed people, also sent out demons and things like that. They got a little bit into practice. So Jesus was helping them. And then when Jesus went away, he said, I'm going to send you another helper. And I took the one from Amplified over there because it gives all the words. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. So Jesus was not helping anymore. He was sending another helper now. Somebody else who was going to help not only the disciples, but who's going to help us as well. And that helper is a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, a standby to be with you forever. So not just when you pay your bill or when you help with the coffee here at the church or anything like that. It's going to be with you forever. There's no conditions. That's awesome. And the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take it to its hearts because it does not see him or know him. Because you know him, because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. If we also see over there where it says, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. They cannot see God. They are spiritually blind. Paul as well was writing in Ephesians, the first part, he said, open up their spiritual eyes that they can see God. Also know him. Now knowing him is basically meaning that you've got a relationship with him. It's not just that they are aware of it, but that they really know him, that they know God, and then they can receive the helper. And from there, we know that Jesus went up to heaven, and then the people went up to the upper room, and then they prayed over there. And they were filled with the Spirit. Petrus went outside, he got his sermon over there, 3,000 people came and all that. And then the people asked, and he said, okay, what must I do? What are you asking? What must we do? And then he mentioned three things. He said, repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to do over here is to say is, it's not always that sequence. It's not always that repent, baptize, and filled with the Holy Spirit is in that sequence. And I just want to show you with a verse so that I can substantiate it, what I'm saying over here. And that's in Acts 10. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out of the Gentiles also. There wasn't any baptism in there. They heard the words, accepted Jesus, they repented, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not always that it is that sequence which has got to be followed. It is possible that it can change as well. And yes, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's a whole list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as we can see it in 1 Corinthians 12. And the Spirit, and those gifts are given that we can use it for other people as well. It's for all. It's not just for us. It's to edify other people. And then the other, which I find very important, it's also there for spreading and advancing the gospel. So if we are going to receive those gifts then, any of those gifts or whatever grouping we're getting of those gifts, and if it's now going to be the faith, or if it's going to be healing, or the working of the miracles, or prophecy, or discerning of spirits, or speaking in tongues, or interpretation of tongues, whatever grouping there is, but that it is for the benefit of the church. It's for edifying all. And like what I said just now, it is for bringing the gospel. Because if we can get a word for somebody, if we can heal somebody, if a miracle can happen as a result of those gifts, what we've got it, it's so much easier that another person says, yes, now I can see it. Now I believe that, yes, there is a God. If we are praying for somebody to be healed and the person is healed and we tell them that the healing has happened because we went and we went to the Father and we went through Jesus Christ, and you can share the gospel with them. And if a person is healed, it is so much easier for a person to accept it. Say, yes, there is a God, because I experienced it, I saw it, I've seen it. And then once we are having the fruit of when we are having the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're also going to show that we've got the gift of the Holy Spirit through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which I just now mentioned in Galatians then, which is then the love, the peace, the patience, the kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which is then a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, if we've received the gifts, then the people can see it in the way we are acting, and people can see it all around. The next one where I would like to have a look, and before you're going to click on it, Kaylee, just leave it over there. I'm just going to ask you two by two, just quickly say, what do you think is the biggest blockage, which is the biggest hindrance that the Holy Spirit is not working, and you can say in your own life or in other people's life. But just mention one to the other people. Don't spend half an hour. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Just go two, which is other, and just talk about it and say, what do you think is hindering, it's blocking the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit cannot work through us or maybe through other people?
Teaching people to says it's a multiplication. What he sees on the TV, whatever.
It's like empty.
But, and then, like, it's a spirit that's measured. And then when you tell your 12,
no. 1 minute left. Right, please finish your sentence. Okay, I'm going to start. Just mention the two of you, just one, where you spoke about and where you feel what is actually blocking the working of the Holy Spirit in us or in other people. Past experiences. Okay, all right. Okay. Okay. Who's the clever one? Fear of man. Okay. Christine, have you got...
like regular repentance and confession of sin.
Okay. Okay. And then here on the front seat, yeah?
I'd say unforgiveness
and spiritual strongholds. Okay. All right. I've got a few over here. I would like to go through them. And then you most probably will say, yes, I recognize that one. Yes, I recognize that one. Maybe some of them in your own life. Maybe some of them in other people's life. But that just that we have a look at it and say, okay, what is happening? What is blocking that the tank can be filled? Or is there maybe such a huge hole in the tank that it is filled but it's running out immediately again? Or am I standing in front of the tank so the tank cannot be filled? What is actually happening? Yeah, okay, we'll come to that one just now. First one, what I want to speak a little bit about is the doubt or the intellectual pride. There was one guy who wanted to write a book. His name is John Sherrill, and it's in the 1960s, because he said this... filling with the Spirit, talking in tongues and so on, that's all nonsense. So he said, okay, he's going to visit those people who are filled with the Holy Spirit and he's going to start and write a book about it and he's going to prove and he's going to discredit the Holy Spirit because it's nonsense. What they're telling and what they're doing is nonsense. Okay, then he started, but it didn't take that long. He was also filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's, for me, it's actually so awesome, is that if you really put in effort, and if people would put in effort to find out what the Holy Spirit actually is, then they will understand it, and then they can also receive it. The next one is the religious tradition. The religious tradition is happening, again, there's a story. There was one guy in a Catholic church, and he got spirit-filled. His wife got healed, and then he went to the bishop, and he said, okay, this is what's happening. And the bishop said, you're mad. You must go to a psychiatrist. You've got the book in over there because there's something wrong with you. This is how they treated it, because the bishop didn't know how to handle it. The bishop wasn't used to it. It was out of the norm. We know it as well. It is in our area around it. If we would, for instance, at the station start speaking in tongues, people will most probably ask you, from which country are you? But that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, some of them, they will pick it up and say, okay, that person is praying in tongues. If we're standing around as what we interceded beforehand and the people are speaking of praying in tongues, it's acceptable to us. We are used to it. But that religious tradition is a huge problem, because that's blocking, that's hindering the Holy Spirit to work, because we're not used to it. We're not accustomed to it. For me, it was also strange in the beginning. I didn't know actually what was happening, but getting used to it, it becomes part of life, and now it is such a necessity, like that petrol in the tank is such a necessity, I cannot live without it anymore. Fear of the supernatural, that is also happening. Because they think you're going into a trance and you float around in a room and you climb the walls and all those type of things when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not the case. You're still a human being, 2 feet on the ground. But it's something what you're experiencing, what you cannot explain. It's something supernatural. People are sometimes afraid of it, unnecessarily afraid. The next one is unconfessed sin. It is happening. Unconfessed sin, you mentioned it, Christine, it's actually blocking, because we're blocking the working of the Holy Spirit. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to fill us up. We've got to repent of that sin. We've got to give it. And if we take a look at just now as well what Peter said over there, repent, be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got to repent. If there's something which is bothering us or where we've done something wrong, best is to bring it to the Lord as soon as possible. Don't load it in your at the back of your car or anything like that, because you just have got to carry it along and carry it along and carry it along. Get rid of it. That's the easiest way. So yes, unconfessed sins are also blocking the Holy Spirit. And we can read it in Thessalonians and in Ephesians, where it says that the Holy Spirit can be quenched and where the Holy Spirit can also be grieved. And what we're doing sometimes, unnecessary. Emotional wounds as well. Something happened. It could be abuse. It could be that you've got anxiety. You could be aggrieved or depressed. And then we need healing first. It's nearly like the tank has got a hole in it. So it's filled up, but it's running out directly again. It doesn't hold over there. And that is then with the emotional wounds. It is like Lazarus, which is coming out of the tomb. He was wrapped up in all those cloth bandages. They first had to take it off. And that is as well then, if you've got wounds, that you first have got to take it off and get rid of it. And then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then not to say you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then the working of the Holy Spirit can flow much better. It's like the pipe, the petrol pipe that they're filling up is blocked. Petrol cannot go in, or it can only go in little bit by little bit. The last one is the unyielded spirit. And this is what I feel. This is the spirit where we've got in Utrecht the biggest problem with. And the unyielded spirit is you're full of yourself. So the petrol tank is not full of petrol, but the petrol tank is full of yourself. Now, I can associate with that because I had exactly the same problem. It was the me and myself. It was filling it up. It always showed full. It's no place for the Holy Spirit because I'm full with myself. I know what to do. I can help myself. And if we go on a Thursday evening as well, if we go into town and we speak to people, then the people are saying that, I don't need Jesus. I can sort out myself. God? No. That's for other people. I don't need it. That tank is full. They are not open to receive anything. They cannot receive the Holy Spirit over there. It's filled up, unfortunately. It's also if we take our plans, if we take our finances, if we take our relationships, and if we take our time, and if we take all those things and we fill it up into the tank, then there's also no place. Because it's also part of the unyielded, because it's all about ourselves. The plans are about ourselves. The finances is about ourselves. We are at the top of the expenses. It will only be about us. The relationships, it's very important to have relationships with other people, but we need a relationship with God first, because that has got eternal value. And then time with God as well. We've got to spend time with God. We were fortunate that we could go to London, and then Pastor Fred May, which is the founding pastor of the Shofar movement, he was preaching over there in London, and he challenged us. And he said at the end of the sermon, he said, each and every one of you, speak to God now and make a commitment. How much time each and every day are you going to sit down and just focus on God? Which means your cell phone is switched off, your TV is switched off, the radio is switched off, you're not thinking about anything, you're just totally focusing on God, and that's all. And yeah, it was actually challenging. And then myself as well, I also thought, yes, how much time do I actually take with it? Because sometimes you start with it, but then another thing is happening, or this or that or whatever. But we've got to take time and really spend time with God. If we want to have a decent relationship, we must spend time with God. It's part of it. So now we come to the question which was at the beginning. What is happening when we are filled with the Holy Spirit? And the answer, what I would say is, what is happening is something awesome. Because God is starting to work through us. Those people who are here now from the Let's Go team, it's God working through them that they are here. If you hear Martin's testimony, if you've got time, listen to it. All the upgrades he got at the airports and all those type of things. The way God welcomed him over here in the Netherlands. It's just awesome. But again, what was he doing? He was doing what the Lord was telling him to do because he listened to the Lord. He spent time with the Lord. And then it is such a, I should say, such a great feeling what we get when we know what we're doing is what the Lord wants us to do. So what is happening? We don't get stuck anymore. We are moving. The petrol tank is not empty. Things can happen. We've got the gifts of the Spirit which can work through us. Not all exactly the same. Different as what the Holy Spirit is deciding who's going to get what, but it doesn't matter. But we can do that. We are going to receive gifts. And then also that the fruit of the Spirit is going to show. People can around us can see it. I'm not always lovely. I'm not always, I know that, but I'm working on that. And that is something what I really appreciate, that what the Lord is doing is that if we open ourselves up, which means that we go as Carl, we go to that petrol station and we say, okay, here we are, fill up, please. And then he fills up, look, 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 look. And then we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we can experience things. Then it's not a matter anymore that the car is standing still and we've got to push it. But the petrol is doing the things. The Holy Spirit is doing the things. And if we ran a few kilometers and that full is going to the E, then we go back again to that petrol station and we fill up again. And if it is in the morning and in the evening or if it's eaten every Monday, it doesn't matter, but we can fill up again. And we also must do it in our prayers because we're not doing it. We're not filling us up on a regular basis. It's also something which, this sermon is not only for you. This sermon is not for me as well. What I experienced and what I learned again when I was busy with this sermon, Renee said, are you back again? When are you finished? But it was speaking to me. Is we've got to be filled up. It's a continuous relationship, what we've got with God and God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So now I come to the conclusion. We need the Holy Spirit. Short and sweet as it is. Nothing else. Let's stand. Father, we need the Holy Spirit. We need you. That you can work through our lives. That we can go. That we can move. Not only in our personal capacity, but as a church as well, that we can move Shofar Utrecht because we're filled up with the Holy Spirit. And that the Shofar movement can also move, Lord, that we can go forward and that we can do what our mission is saying over there, to reach nations and generations through discipleship, leadership and development and church planting. And that's the Holy Spirit, Lord, which is filling us up, Lord. And if we take a look at the people, Lord, who are busy with your word, Lord, the Holy Spirit is filling them up, Lord. And if they let them be filled up with the Holy Spirit, Lord, then there's an eagerness to bring the gospel, to share the gifts what they've got, because it's there to edify other people. It's not for ourselves. It's not for ourselves. We can share it with other people. Lord, as we are standing over here with everybody's eyes closed, Lord, I want to ask, whose tank is empty at the moment? Who feels that his tank has got to be filled up? Who feels that he needs something? That he needs to be filled up with the Holy Spirit? Think about it. Pray about it. And most probably, as I was busy with the sermon, it maybe was touching you. It was maybe the Holy Spirit was already stirring you and say, yes, yes, there's something for me. I must learn something today. If your tank has got to be filled up, as the symbols of the communion are going to be distributed now, then I'm going to ask you to take it along, come forward, and start over here, and you can pray. And if you feel that we should pray with you in agreement, then indicate, then we will come and pray with you in agreement. But otherwise, take your time and fill up. that the Holy Spirit can fill up your petrol tank, that you can get go, that you can go out, that you can walk out. Father, you're awesome. You're great. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is a person and that we can experience the Holy Spirit. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is part of our lives. That we can give you all the glory, Father. And thank you for the symbols where we've got the bread and the wine. The body of Jesus Christ was on the cross so that we can have a relationship with you, Father. It was the blood of Jesus which made us clean again, which took all the barriers which were between us and you, Lord. It was taken away that we could have a relationship with you again, Lord. And we thank you for that. You're awesome and you're great.